the third session, which is what hydro and magneto hydrodynamical processes drive accretion onto black holes. And Johan French and Gami are, which one is the observer, but they're going to present the results of their session. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that our session barely touched on observations at all, so that will be one of the challenges for future work.
Just call.
Yeah. As Roger said, we were discussing what hydrodynamic and MHD processes drive black hole accretion, we construed our charge as broadly as possible to include sort of every topic in disk dynamics. This is a sort of cartoon of black hole accretion flows, which shows the context for some of the topics we discussed. Moving in from the outside, we talked a little bit about warp, which is a topic on which there's been a great deal of progress in the last few years with the discovery of instability which might drive warps by Jim Pringle and explicit observations of a warp disk in the case of NGC 4258. Then moving in, there's the possibility of a cold component and a hot component in the disk, and a topic of some controversy was the relative importance of those two components, both in the carrying the mass inward and observationally. Moving it further inward, there's a possibility of another warp at the inside of the disk, which the Bardeen-Pedersen warp, which brings the disk into alignment with the or normal to the black hole. Moving it further inward, there's dynamics of material near the last stable orbit and inside the last stable orbit, which received some discussion. And then finally, the possibility of a jet driven in the immediate vicinity of the black hole. So we had a number of brief talks by various people. John Hawley gave a fairly lengthy introductory discussion accompanied by a movie of numerical models of disks, including local models, which include MHD, and models which do not include MHD, purely hydrodynamic local models of disks, as well as global models, which are now beginning to emerge from some of various people in the community. Sterling Colgate and Hui Li gave a talk on, or two talks on, transport by hydrodynamic processes, a little bit of discussion of global instabilities which might drive accretion in those cases when MHD turbulence is absent. Although there were some who argued that might be the dominant process. Shoji Kato gave a brief presentation on some work he's done on hydrodynamic methods for generating turbulent viscosity in disks. Michel Taget talked about global MHD instabilities. Kristen Manu gave a brief presentation on the magnetic Reynolds number in black hole candidate disks. I think this is very promising work, since I'm Kristen's collaborator on that work. Ethan Vishniak gave a discussion of work which is seeking to understand the dynamo which is observed in some of the simulations in a way that might be give us some analytic handle on the process, so that one doesn't have to turn to a full MHD simulation. Julian Krolik gave a discussion on some work he's done on flow inside the last stable orbit, which argued that the flow is always in a regime which is in which magnetic fields are dynamically interesting but not necessarily dynamically dominant. And finally, Mitch Begelman gave a presentation on a brief introduction to warps. So there were a number of challenges that came up, and Johan is going to discuss them more in just a moment. There's clearly, as I said at the beginning, there was almost no discussion of observations, and there's clearly a problem in making a contact between the work that's done and the observations. And one of the leading components of this problem is understanding the vertical structure of the disk, the vertical run of dissipation of the turbulence in the disk, and how energy is transported possibly by MHD waves in the disk. And a challenge would be to construct a numerical model of this, possibly cleverly in two dimensions, which would make it numerically less challenging, which incorporates the thermal physics. So many of the numerical models that have been done don't include the thermal physics, and one has to include that to make contact with observations. There was also a discussion of warps which followed Mitch's presentation, and there's clearly a rich set of dynamical problems related to warps, which obviously have important observational consequences. So associated challenge that we discussed was to show how some sort of hydrodynamically driven process might also give rise to warps, in addition to the radiation-driven instability that's been discussed by Jim Pringle. And finally, this is perhaps slightly off topic, but the extent of the hot component, the extent and nature of the hot component is crucially dependent on the existence or non-existence of a two-temperature plasma. There has been a great deal of work done on this, but our feeling was it would be worthwhile to reconsider the heating processes and processes which couple the two components of a two-temperature plasma. Thanks.
Thanks, Charles.
So let me backtrack a little bit and focus on one particular aspect, that is to contrast two sort of points of view that have been discussed and were discussed in our session to some extent on the local mechanism, that is the mechanism of viscosity, and in particular MHD turbulence versus hydrodynamic turbulence. It's clear by now that the MHD turbulence, both the simulations show that both linear and non-linear, numerical in this case, numerical simulations, that these instabilities exist, they're strong, they grow, and they transport angular momentum outward, which is what you require to have accretion. In the hydro side of things, we know that disks are linearly stable, and so far there is no explicit example of nonlinear instability. And we also know that in experiments where driven thermal convection has been introduced into the disk, then it either transports angular momentum inward, it transports angular momentum inward the wrong way, and then if you stop the driving, it dies out. So one of the issues that has been discussed is, it has perhaps this something to do with the resolution of these simulations. So here is a way of looking at this problem where we go in this resolution or scale axis from the macro scales down to the molecular viscosity scale. So one is lambda over h of order one. The current simulations span a couple of orders of magnitude at this end of this axis on the macro scale. And then here we have 10 to the big, since big depends on exactly what kind of disk model and conditions you consider. And at that scale, on the microscopic scale, I think everybody would agree that if you set up a disk that has no turbulence, no magnetic fields, then molecular viscosity will cause dissipation, transport angular momentum outwards, and allow accretion, albeit at a very slow rate indeed. So, and in between there is this wide range of scales where we don't know really what happens, and you might hope that since at this level you transport angular momentum outwards, maybe there is some unknown mechanism, some hydro mechanism that could do it at those intermediate scales. But the current simulations, as I indicated, are not very, they don't promise, they suggest that that is going to be difficult. So how to proceed from now on? So one approach you might take is to try and explain why the existing simulations show no transport. But in that case, you must identify the scale that is required, the scale that ultimately we should aim for in our simulations that will produce the instability and produce the correct correlations to transport angular momentum outward. For you, these two are somewhat related. Develop an explicit mesoscopic hydro model of turbulence without any fixing, without any arbitrary closure relationship, because by doing that you might introduce already the answer into your model. And the third possibility, which I think at the moment looks like the more promising from the point of view of making progress, is to push the MHD paradigm to its limits and see if we can learn anything from observational tests. So, for example, where does the MHD turbulence become inefficient or decay? For example, there have been recent results by Yami and Manu, for example, that show that when the Reynolds number is below some critical value, the MHD turbulence does not grow. So in that case, what alternative mechanisms are at work? That's something that we need to look into. For example, in cool disks, in perhaps prototellers disks, and in some of the short period cataclysmic variables with very small mass companions. And then use the observational time scales to constrain these models. That do two things. One is to constrain the alternative models, but also verify if this critical Reynolds number actually that is consistent with the what the observations are telling us. That, in my opinion, is one of the strengths, if you like, of the MHD turbulence model, that right now has reached the point where you can actually predict where it would fail, and this is something that you can test. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Johan and Charles, for another excellent session and report organized session.